Welcome to Awakening Heart Network. My name is Turia Vallis, and today we have the distinct honor and pleasure of joining in conversation with Sarian Michael White. But before we bring Sarian on, let's just take a moment and gather here together in the center of the Awakening Heart Global Healing Circle. And together we are gathered for this amazing call, this amazing experience, this amazing expression of spirit that will be flowing through all of us tonight. We're not just simply participating in a call in a normal way. Tonight's call is going to be very, very special and different. And so with that in mind, as we are here gathered within this space, this sacred present moment, this moment where we have come together to co-create a new reality, a reality that will shift everything we know. We have brought our dreams and we have brought the things that we want to create. We've brought our problems. We've brought certain things that we may not have answers to. And here within the circle, we can release it all. We can know that this is a safe space where we are joined together through our hearts and our minds and our souls and our beings. And here we are gathered with one intention: to create the highest and best outcome for everyone, not just for ourselves gathered here on the call, but for the entire planet, the animals, the plants, the mountains, the waters, all the cosmos. And so this love that is the true nature of who and what we are flows in and out and through and up, and it touches everything. It touches our dreams. It touches our highest aspirations. It touches what we may call our problems. And it allows for solutions that we might not have thought of before. And it helps us to find ways where we might not have known there was a way after all. And so it's with great, great gratitude that I am so grateful. Donna and I are both so grateful to welcome everyone to this call. And without further ado, let's talk to Sarian Michael White. But first, let me introduce him. Sarian Michael White is a writer and a global messenger of humanity's peace potential. As a transformational leader, civilian diplomat, and channel for spirit, Sarian lives life according to spiritual principles that continually inspire growth, healing, and transformation. As an international presence, Sarian's workshops, conferences, and private readings have touched the lives of people throughout Europe, the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, Russia, India, and the Middle East. Everyone, please, welcome to the call, Sarian Michael White. Welcome,
Hello,
Sarian.
Hello, everyone.
Yay.
So excited to be here. Just sitting here in this such a sacred space, and I actually thought maybe it just occurred to me that I would love to maybe begin by kind of creating an invitation of my own into the sacred space. You did such a beautiful invitation and invocation to bring people into the circle of healing. And there's something unique that I'm feeling right now. I knew that I was going to be talking about the Native American master elders that have shown up to participate in what we're doing with this circle. But I just got this really beautiful download of seeing a kind of a sacred meeting space that is being extended to us from the inner planes in the form of a very large teepee. So it's like a Native American teepee, and I want to invite all of you listening to enter into that sacred space as if the Native American Master Elders are personally inviting you and saging you and anointing you and blessing you to enter into the sacred circle with all of us on this call, because we're going to be communing a little bit with those energies. So please accept that invitation and allow some of that sacred space to be extended right to where you're at, and really feel the warmth of that fire that is burning at the center with such pure love and healing energy.
Wow. I can feel it. I can even almost smell the sage. We're talking
yeah.
about that. I can, like, smell the sage. Wow. Anybody who has heard Sarian before or worked with him in on a call knows that the energy that he brings to the call is incredibly focused, it's uplifting, and it's transformational. And so as we're gathered here today, I'm going to ask some questions, but he's going to come, you know, he's fully on all the time as a channel, as a vessel for spirit and for source and for the masters. And so he's going to be channeling the entire time. If people have questions, certainly you can raise your hands or you can post questions on the webcast and we're going to take them. But basically, we're going to be inside of an entire, like the whole time is going to be one huge channeled energetic uplift. And Sarian, I don't want to tell him. I want you to tell him. Can you please tell your vision and what your knowing is about what's happening on this call? Because I think it's really exciting. And I want them to hear it from you, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is a story that I'd like to begin with. And since we're all kind of sitting around the campfire now, this is kind of a story that comes from the spiritual history of the planet. And it's about a time some hundreds of years ago in America when there were still these Native American tribes and communities, especially in the Southwest, is where I remember some of these specific tribes that were holding a certain frequency of connection with the stars. And I had the great pleasure of actually channeling a whole tribe into one of the courses that I did several years ago, and I became aware of all of these different tribes of Native American spirits that had been in touch with the stars, and specifically, they had spiritual colleagues among the Arcturians. And the Arcturians are one of the most advanced extraterrestrial civilizations in the galaxy, and they're just absolutely filled with love and light. They're pure beings of love and light that are assisting with our birth as a planetary consciousness and with the ascension of the Earth. And one of the things that I remember is that there was a time when it was being talked about that this, you know, the westward movement was happening. It was known that these pioneers were coming, that the way of life of these Native American tribes was coming to an end. I can remember a very sad time when these discussions were taking place and some different emissaries from many different tribes were sent to a meeting place to all come together and discuss what was going to happen and what to do. And in the end, it was understood that there was very little that could be done except to surrender to the change. But there were agreements that were made, and there were some tribes that decided that once they had passed away, once they had left their embodiments, that they would remain with the Earth, that they were not going to reincarnate, they were not going to go back to the stars, that some of these were star people. They had very strong connections into the galactic community, and they had brought those connections into humanity in these Native American tribes. But some of them chose to stay with the Earth and to assist with the Earth's ascension from the other side, and to hold the knowledge of their tribes sacred until it could be rediscovered and could reawaken inside of us. And I think in many cases, there were only very few exceptions of where these Native American spirits maybe reincarnated and came back in to try to bring some of that knowledge back in. But these tribes, they still exist. They all gradually crossed over. I saw the same thing happen with the Aborigines, where there were very large tribes of Aborigines in Australia, and these original people decided to stop having children and to gradually allow the tribes to die off so that they could all become reunited on the other side and to hold their knowledge sacred of the Earth and the animals and humanity's ancient history and our true heritage, our spiritual inheritance. They held all of those things sacred, but they were doing it in a non-physical level of reality where the frequency of that knowledge would still be a part of all of us, but we in the physical would not begin to access the frequency of that knowledge until our vibrations raised high enough. what occurred last night, it just so opened me up with inspiration to know that the agreements that all of these elders and these keepers of wisdom made to reunite on the other side, to remain a part of the earth, and to hold this frequency of knowledge until humanity in the physical would be ready to awaken into it again, those agreements are now beginning to play out in this profound way. And last night I found myself on the inner plane, and I was watching all of these Native American spirits and also the Aborigines and other indigenous elders and wisdom keepers. They were all beginning to gather together as one tribe of wisdom keepers on the inner plane. And they were coming to me and empowering me to represent the form of consciousness that they hold that is awakening inside of us now. And I immediately found spirit positioning me in front of this other group, which was like the polar opposite. And there were all of these souls, people who are physically living incarnations now, that I was contacting their inner plane selves. And these were people that were living in the corporate world, that were, you know, CEOs of companies and people that were embodying this really strong corporate mentality that viewed the Earth's resources as commodities. And I was guided to confront them about this mentality and the lack of wisdom and discernment being practiced in that way of being. And it's like I felt the wisdom consciousness of these elders flowing right through me and confronting these people. And they were kind of almost kind of shocked, like, oh, wow, what, you know, we need to maybe take a look at this. And what's exciting about all of this, and the reason why I chose to bring this up on this call, and actually I really feel they chose to bring this to the call because I'm just a witness to this, is that it really has to do with changing the resonance of humanity. So there is this resonance of greed, of corporate mentality, of ownership mentality, of viewing the Earth's resources as commodities versus the mentality of our stewardship and seeing the Earth's resources as something incredibly sacred, seeing it as an inheritance for future generations, seeing it all as commonwealth, and having a stewardship mentality over an ownership mentality. Well, here's the thing. The world has been dominated by this corporate mentality, and humanity has had to go through its lessons in relationship to that. And now, as the field of oneness and these waves of oneness are impacting the earth and beginning to stimulate human consciousness into other levels of connection and awakeness, what's happening is our vibrations are going up enough, and we're coming into resonance with the unity consciousness of all of these indigenous tribes and elders that are holding frequency on the inner plane. And the key to understand what is possible and why the human story and where we're at and where we're going is not as bleak as what people might imagine is that when you look at the people holding this greed or corporate mentality or ownership mentality, the earth does not give people power to sabotage in the way that the people are doing that are engaged in that old paradigm. The earth does not give them that power. People who are engaged in that are acting out of harmony with the earth. But the earth does give us the power to change the paradigm by broadcasting the awareness of our role as stewards, by seeing the earth's wealth as one, by holding a vision of commonwealth and community in a way that can change the way everyone in the world is vibrating. And because the earth gives us that power, when we assume the powers of the earth, we can change the resonance of those who are stuck in this mentality that is sabotaging and that is out of harmony with the environment. So we are literally at a new threshold where there is an uprising of energy. Part of this uprising of energy is coming from the earth herself, empowering us to embody and assume these roles as stewards of this whole earth, where every single person is a keeper of the whole earth. And as the earth is sending forth this energy, these spirits of these indigenous tribes on the inner plane, because of their attunement, they are able to embody that resonance and channel it. They're able to harness it in a way that maybe goes beyond what we are able to see from our vantage point, but they are able to help us to align with these waves of energy that are coming from the earth itself. Now, there's also energy coming directly from the Creator to bring about this change. But I was specifically guided to kind of focus on the waves of oneness energy that are coming from the earth, as the earth is seeking to embrace us into our true divinely appointed roles as stewards here, because we actually have the power to manifest reality in a much larger way than what we imagine when we are manifesting in alignment with our true spiritual blueprint. When you're trying to do things that are out of sync, it's not going to go as far. But when you are focused on manifesting in alignment with spiritual power and the real source of spiritual power, then we literally have the power to rewrite the code of consciousness in the air that everyone is breathing. And that's what these energies are coming in to support us to do. So I want to invite everyone to really receive first a blessing from all of these indigenous elders. Many of you listening to this have lived in these tribes in past incarnations. Many of you maybe even have some ancestry genetically, a genetic resonance to some of these tribes or to various wisdoms of or lineages of wisdom that are part of your DNA but has been dormant until this time. Many of you have felt a spiritual resonance with this type of consciousness and an affinity for the Native Americans or the Aborigines or other tribes throughout ancient history that held higher levels of consciousness, that were more in harmony with the earth. And, I mean, we can extend this all the way back to, you know, very ancient civilizations, but I'm not going to go into that. Right now, in whatever way in which you have embodied a code of consciousness, either consciously or dormant, that is a part of you, allow yourself to receive a blessing from these elders, from both the men and the women, coming forth to honor you, to welcome you, and to welcome your souls fully and completely into your embodiments. And the blessing that they are offering you each specifically is about you coming into your full embodiment. See, as we're sitting here around this blazing fire of creation and receiving its warmth as a purification energy, there are many different forms of consciousness that have been like a way of disassociating from the body or disassociating from the earth or disassociating from humanity. There are all kinds of protections that we put in place or that we ask to be put in place as we journey through darker times when human consciousness was at a very low vibration. And we are at this point now where there's a great need for us to transcend the residual fears that remain from past traumas, so that we can actually embrace a reconnection that wants to take place. And so allow yourself to feel that fire that is burning in front of us, that is the centerpiece of our sacred circle, begin to feel that this fire is also the violet flame, and that the violet flame is increasing in its strength and power, and it's creating a very powerful invitation for you to release anything inside of you that has created you to disconnect or to fear a deeper state of connection. This is very important work because the states of connection that want to arrive inside each one of you are so profound. It goes way beyond what most of you can yet imagine. Some of you may have had glimpses of this already in your life through types of mystical experiences or states of contact or connection. And yet, to allow that new kind of human experience to begin to take over and to lead you so that you are no longer in control, but you are allowing your own higher self to claim the physical body and to guide you into alignment with a more accelerated process of healing and what many have called an ascension process. This is a level of acceleration that we've been asking for it, we've been dreaming of it, we've been expecting it, and now it is beginning to arrive. And it's time to start to explore in more realistic terms what this actually looks like and how to navigate it. But what wants to happen for each of you is a surrendering into deeper and deeper states of connection that want to open. Sometimes these connections will open in relationship to a single person. You're ultimately reconnecting with oneness. However, sometimes your heart may feel that it wants to open through a channel that feels more safe for you. And so you experience a reconnection happening with a person or with a small group, and maybe increasingly with larger numbers of people and whole networks of people. What's happening right now, and this is where the angels come in, is that they are noticing all of the people that are in a state of readiness to respond to calling to surrender into the next level of connection to oneness that is available to us. And they are synchronistically bringing us all together. And they are synchronistically aligning our paths so that we cross paths. And it's a little bit like if you've ever seen these videos that they've shown of two heart cells that are each beating, and they may be beating at different rates until you move them close enough together that they start to touch, and then they synchronize so that they're beating at the same rate. Well, the angels are helping to create the synchronization of these heart pulses that are part of the rhythm of the earth itself beating as one human heart. And of course, we're not talking about all of our physical hearts being synchronized, but rather all of our heart chakras being synchronized with a process of opening into increasingly bigger states of connection that can allow us to be able to more properly facilitate and more powerfully facilitate others to find that state of connection within themselves. So there's some things that I want to share about this and what this is going to look like and feel like and what we can do with this. But I just want to check in with my host and see what's coming in for you and your awareness of this.
It's profound. First of all, I want to let everybody know that probably an hour and a half before the call started, I started feeling this incredibly sacred energy that just kind of came in and settled down. And I was telling Sarin before this that it was like, oh, my God, it's like super holy, sacred, sacred ground. And I really had no idea of what would happen but I knew that it was going to be huge and it was going to be transformational. And there's this very deep peace that's permeating the entire call for me. And it's allowing for another frequency, another level of information to be transmitted. And when you talked about the Native American tribes, I literally like feel the energy. I felt surrounded. I feel the Native American elders come in and I feel them around me and I'm like, wow, you know, I can feel this. And so, as I mentioned to everybody before, this is a very, very different call, but that's what we're here for. We're here to experience and express Source in the way that Source wants to express in that moment. And so I'm loving it. And I'm loving the fact that we're all gathered here together to do this. And even the amazing questions that are coming in, because we're just playing this by ear. We are co-creating this moment together, as Sarian was saying, allowing for ourselves to open up and to be able to be the vessels. And Sarian, I loved how when you said that, when we are working, that the earth supports, you know, knowing that the earth is more than intelligent, that there's a huge, vast consciousness here, and that the earth supports certain consciousness that's embodied within people that people choose, and that the earth is not supporting other things. And so when we are working in a certain way, the earth herself or itself, or, you know, I tend to say herself, can work through us to create more of that goodness. And I'm loving also, sorry, and the questions that people are asking, and I think that at this point, if you don't mind, everyone, please keep asking your questions. They're so important, and I think that they are going to help us to open up and to create more through us. This is, again, a super different call, but we are all here together doing this for everyone who is on the planet. Sorry, and if you don't mind, we got a question coming in from Kim, and it's so important. She's wondering specifically, sorry, and how do we embody our shamanic nature? Is it true that nature beholds all the medicine there is and that it can flow through us and in us? Thank you. And I think that it's the perfect time to ask that question. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's a beautiful question, and I love the way it's stated, because it's true that all of the medicine that we need does exist in nature, and that's not necessarily a physical medicine, but vibrational medicine. I've actually witnessed how the earth is, as a living, intelligent being, is aware of the kinds of issues that humanity is experiencing, and the earth will actually produce even physical medicines in response to what is needed. It's just like the earth is part of humanity's immune system, and it responds to our needs. And so we can always find what we need in listening to the earth. And that shamanic wisdom and intelligence is so important. It is still with us, and it is part of a field of consciousness that we can learn from, that we can drink knowledge from. You're asking, you know, how do we embody that? How do we activate that? Well, probably one of the most powerful things you can do is to spend some time alone in nature. Now, when I've gone into nature alone, I have often worked with sound to open the bridge into the field of the earth's consciousness and the consciousness of the water and the animals. And I've had incredibly profound experiences with that. I remember one time hiking to the top of a waterfall in Rocky Mountain National Park, and I was up there and I was seeing this crystal clear water flowing on this river right before it went over the waterfall. And I began to kind of sing and tone and chant, and I was singing to the water, and these fish came up and they swam right up, and it's like they were listening to me. And then I began to sing for them. And I actually felt that something was shifting both in my DNA and their DNA as a bridge between that family of consciousness and the human family of consciousness was being restored. And so I can imagine that those fish actually carried on from that moment forward a new code of consciousness. And I've had that same feeling with other animals. Whenever I have focused on restoring the bridge between one family of consciousness and the human family of consciousness, I'll notice that there's a certain focus of attention that I use that I would call a focus of equality. Right? I'm seeing that animal and that whole species as being spiritual equals with humanity and with our collective soul. And whenever I practice that focus on an animal, it's like it calls forth the collective spirit of that whole species of animal, and that oversoul becomes present within that animal in a way that it grows the spiritual connection until it's like a bridge just activates. And once that bridge is there, it just becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your link into the whole world. We, through doing this, are becoming more and more like a tree of life. And every species is like a branch on that tree. And we are activating the linkages between those different groups of consciousness and families of consciousness and the core frequency of the human heart in sync with the core frequency of the earth. And so, yeah, there is a lot to restore, a lot to reconnect. And I would just suggest going into nature, spending time alone in nature, laying upon the earth, singing to the earth, singing to the plants, singing to the animals, being vocal. Some of the most powerful activations that I've created for myself were created when I went in nature alone and sang to the waters of the earth. I would go out somewhere where there was a body of water, like a lake, a river, a waterfall, and I would just let these spontaneous tones and songs begin to flow out. And as I did that, I felt like I was creating this calling, and all of the nature spirits in the area could feel what I was doing, and they were drawn to it. And they knew that I was coming into their realm to work on restoring the bridge between human consciousness and the realm of the invisible nature spirits. And I experienced such profound activations from doing this. It literally changed my resonance permanently. And I walked away being more spirit connected, more earth connected, more connected to the invisible realms than ever before. So that's what I would suggest.
You know, this is really, it's an incredible experience we're having here, everybody. I'm just listening. I'm just like hanging on every single word you're saying, Sarian, because I love the earth and I love nature, but there's something that I can't quite see yet that's happening here. This is beyond what I would have imagined in terms of what's happening here in terms of being able to connect and shift, because you're kind of talking about shifting realities right before your eyes. Like being able to be so surrendered in nature this way will shift the reality. That's what I'm getting out of this, and I love it. Oh, my God, I love it.
And, you know, just on that subject, really, if I were to boil it all down through all of my spiritual experiences of actually shifting my own consciousness, so much of that shifting occurred through some type of profound act of prayer. And so whether you're singing to the animals in the earth or whether you are calling forth your alignment with the higher dimensions in some way, or whether you're praying for the whole of humanity to join you in a focus of peace consciousness, it's really prayer that creates the opening. These were transformative acts of prayer. Some of them were created ceremonially. Some of them were created spontaneously. Some of them came about almost by accident or in moments of, fear catalyzing me to open a channel to God and really call forth the highest truth. But it was those intense feelings of desire for greater connection into oneness that changed the frequency. And so often it came about through being given an affirmation, a mantra, a vibrational key, something that I could begin to speak and repeat in my consciousness like a prayer. until I became one with that prayer mantra or sound or whatever it was. And it just changed the frequency of my DNA. And after that, there was a permanent shift.
Wow. Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I can feel this power that's coming as you're speaking. And it's your words are very, very important, but there's something inside of it that has nothing to do with grasping onto words. That's why I'm so deeply trying to feel into every single thing that you're saying, because it's transferring information directly. Like, I'm getting this directly, and I'm having all these experiences. I want to take a couple of more emails that have come in. Temperance wants to say, 2 days ago, my cat was looking seriously around my room, and I told him, it's okay. These are spirits who are visiting here. They're friends. But he stared in one direction. As I turned to look over my shoulder, there was an Indian Native American standing there. I said, you are welcome here. Is there something you want to say to me? And then he faded out of sight. So I think that's so interesting from Temperance. And from Marina, Sarian, why am I in such resistance to accept my own divinity? And I think that that's more than just you, Marina. How do we allow our essence? Thank you.
Well, that resistance can take many forms, but having experienced it myself, I mean, I can maybe most fully and completely relate to that from, you know, what I've experienced of it. And it may be different for you and it may be different for a lot of other people, but the resistance to accept one's divinity for me had a lot to do. I mean, there was unworthiness for sure. And I think that unworthiness is something that is instilled in all of us from an early age, because we, so many of us inherited that from our parents. Not all of us, but quite a lot of us inherited some of that consciousness, and our parents didn't even really know that they had it, and it just got passed on as a resonance. And our worth is actually so immense. We are immeasurably valuable to God, to the earth, to the whole of creation. Our value is absolutely immeasurable. And so as we are reaching for our divinity, trying to welcome that in or surrendering to the fact that our divinity is coming in to claim us, then the worth issue is one of the things that is going to come up for almost everybody. In fact, from what I've experienced with my dialoguing with the masters, I don't even know if there has ever been a person who has become enlightened that has not felt confronted by that worth issue in the way in which it blocks you from receiving true unconditional love. The worth issue is very present for all of us. So that's one thing. It's partly a worth issue. For some people, it may be a fear of responsibility, where we don't actually want to know how powerful we are as co-creators. We don't necessarily want to be responsible for giving our lives over to the full, complete Dharma that we've signed up for, because we come here to play very powerful roles. There are no small roles. We're in the midst of a century shift, and he needs a lot of help. And it's so easy to want to just focus on your own little corner of the universe and not think bigger and not feel responsible for having a more profound ripple effect in the world, or being consciously aware of how profound your ripple effect is. Because whether we realize it or not, we are all creating with the full power of God inside of us. Some of us are creating our worst nightmare, but we're still creating with the full power of God. You know, it's not like we have to reclaim all of this power. You know, that in the way that this is so often talked about. I mean, of course, we create ways of misplacing power. It's true. But we are doing that from a place of true power inside of us that is just being distorted by our fears. So it's a lot of it is really fear of just how powerful we really are. And to have to actually be aware of that, and to take responsibility for it, and to really live each day of our life with a level of conscience that most people around us are not holding with us. And that just can seem really scary, you know, because it feels like, gosh, if I were to actually act on the full wisdom and power and conscience of the soul, then I would be alone in doing that. I would be, you know, sticking out. I would maybe have to act on knowledge and awareness that other people around me don't want to act on. And so you'd be kind of, the oddball. You would be unsupported in many ways in making big, powerful changes in your life. And, yeah, a lot of people are afraid of actually having to be alone in that awareness and be alone on the spiritual path. It's a lot easier to kind of stay closer to home and to, you know, mirror the consciousness of those that you're afraid to let go of. You know, but ultimately, we all have to become more detached in this planetary shift that we're in because we're all changing at different rates. And we're all experiencing at times, you know, a dissonance with people, or at times we may feel attached to whether or not somebody else is where we're at or whether or not they can see us. You know, we have to really let go of where each person is at in this evolutionary process and allow everyone to be shifting at their own rate and in their own timing, and to have no attachment to what this evolutionary process looks like for each individual, and to not judge each person's process either.
I'm just, again, the energy is just profound, and what I'm getting, I'm just like leaning up into the microphone, just like, just listening, feeling every word. And couple things I want to say to everyone: please keep sending feedback. Let us know all the things that you're feeling, and please ask your questions via the email, and we're definitely going to take them. But let us know what you're feeling. This is profound. Kim, who you just spoke to a minute ago, sorry, and said, very interesting. When I feel this love in nature, tears come out of my eyes. Very moving. Feels almost like intergalactic symphonies of love, not only Earth's love. Thank you. And sorry, and I want to say, doesn't that have to do with the shift? You know, we've received so many emails, people wondering, what is the shift? Is it really a shift? And I guess that has to do with how you can perceive it. But what is going on right now that is causing all of this? It feels like an acceleration within our consciousness. And I love how Kim kind of referenced to something more symphonic with the whole that's going on around us all. And could you talk about that? People are wondering, what is this shift?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there's a lot that I could share about that. I have been really kind of blessed with this ability to do spiritual remote viewing and travel out of body and to kind of get an angel's eye view of what's going on. So there are times when I will go out of body and I'll actually see the Earth like a wave. And it's like I can see a range of time over the course of, you know, maybe a block of like 4 or 5 years. And I'll actually see the timeline like a wave, and I can see various trends. I can feel the different trends in human consciousness that are unfolding across that wave. And I can also see multiple probable worlds and different timelines and different potentials within the timelines, and also the increasing presence of probability fields that are creating more and more unpredictability and more opportunity, really, for us to create from infinite possibility. One of the things that I think has thrown people off is that we had all these prophecies and channeled information, stuff that was all about this big buildup to 2012, and 2012 was going to be this big cosmic awakening and this huge extraplanetary event. And I remember reading some of those things. I remember reading, for example, Ken Carey's books, the Starseed Transmissions, and Vision, and the Third Millennium, all books that I absolutely love, and contain within them some very profound teachings and prophecies about the shift we are in. However, those books really predicted that it was going to occur. The peak of that would occur by like 2011, 2012. And as I see it, and I see this very clearly, that the peak of the planetary shift is still ahead of us. A lot of what people were predicting, especially in the 90s, they were seeing something that was coming. They were seeing an arrival of this new energy, and they were seeing the planetary shift. They just have the dates wrong. And the angels told me, and even some of the Mayan spirits that were involved in the creation and development of the Mayan calendar came to me and said that this is an unfolding process. It is a process of by which the lens through which we view time as being linear is gradually collapsing and allowing us to see time as being cyclical. And as the resonance of our minds is able to go into a state of resonance and connection with the unified cycle of time universally, that is reconnecting us to source in such a way that we are able to begin to collectively perceive the return path to source and how all of time is cyclical in nature, that the Creator breathes us out into creation and breathes creation into existence, and eventually that field and that process begins to reverse itself, and there is a gathering in, which still may take billions of years, but there's a gathering in of consciousness as we begin this return path to source, this gradual unification of consciousness, first on a planetary level and then between worlds and then between galaxies and then between whole vast sectors of the universe. This unification will begin to occur. And of course, we're talking about things that are way beyond what we'll witness in our lifetime, but what is going to occur very likely for, I think, a great many people when we are moving into this planetary shift and moving into perhaps the peak window of this shift, which is can't be predicted. The angels say that they can't predict it. They don't know when it's going to happen. And they see that event is kind of wavering and changing on the timeline. They can't tell. But as we move into that peak window of opening and reconnection, we very likely will experience a glimpse of something, like a glimpse of the creation event that freed consciousness into the state of being a many in one universe. The creation event that, as a psychic event, gave birth to our souls. We may get a glimpse of that event reflecting into our consciousness as we cross that threshold as a world, and we may also see a glimpse of our return to source. It'll be like a collective revelation that occurs that allows us to come into this understanding of what creation is, who we are in relationship to it, what the plan is, what the overall pattern of creation is, and the cycle that we are in, and how we can engage the flow of an evolutionary process by surrendering to the return path to source, so that we are being led by our potential and led by a form of energy that is arriving that is giving us the potential to move into higher and higher vibrations of consciousness. So coming back to the question, I wanted to kind of just paint that picture first. Coming back to the question, you know, what is the real nature of this planetary shift? What is really happening? Well, there's a lot of people that have predicted that the Earth is changing in density, that there's a lessening of the density of the third dimension. And I think a lot of what people have predicted about this and this element of the shift I don't want to say that it's out of touch with the reality, because I think that sometimes people are seeing further ahead in this planetary ascension process than they realize, because there are many different shifts and changes that will happen over the centuries. And sometimes I think some of the psychics and channels that are looking into this are kind of getting ahead of themselves. But there is a lessening of the density of the third dimension. It's just not, I don't think, going to be as dramatic as what a lot of people have been predicting. So there is that element of it. There is a raising of the vibration of physical reality, but it's the shift in consciousness that is actually the more dramatic aspect of what we're experiencing. And that is something that is being brought about by an event that is taking place where the Creator itself is embracing us into oneness. And there is literally an arrival of these waves of energy, of oneness vibration coming from Source that is reclaiming the earth and restoring the earth to its natural frequency as a station of love and light. And that is offering us the opportunity to clear away distortions, to clear away duality from our consciousness, to change our resonance, and to shift into alignment with our original divine blueprint. So there was an original blueprint for the human species that was seated here anciently. And because that was seated here, even though we have deviated from being in alignment with that blueprint, there is now an activation, a planetary activation that is underway that is going to restore and reactivate the original blueprint for humanity on the earth. And that is what we are experiencing. We are crossing a threshold into a state of alignment with our original divine blueprint. And that is being revealed to us, what that is. And that's really a whole other subject. I mean, I could give a whole other presentation just about that alone. But, and there's so many elements of this. However, I think for the average person, and I really mean, you know, the average person on the street, not just people that are actually pursuing spiritual practice and are endeavoring to engage the flow of this evolutionary process. I'm talking about people that may not have even explored what's happening and where it's all going. I think that people are going to experience a kind of evolutionary pressure from the arrival of this oneness energy to begin to examine any way in which they are limiting themselves through judgments, through forms of thinking, through beliefs that hold separation consciousness. Because the presence of oneness is going to bring to the surface anything inside of all of us that does not resonate with oneness. So people involved in very exclusive forms of identity, whether these are racist forms of identity or whether this is a group religious identity, whether it is over-identification with one's gender or over-identification with one's sexual orientation, it doesn't matter what it is. There's a spiritual gravity to letting go that of any kind of structure or form of identity or resonance of identity that does not resonate with the wholeness that is awakening inside of us. And so that is why I have been talking about this for a long time now. It's one of the most fundamental keys that I teach about our potential to engage the flow of our spiritual evolution is the focus of equality, of seeing everyone as equals, of seeing the ants as our equals, seeing the birds as our equals, seeing the stars as our equals. Size does not matter in this equation of Christ consciousness, because the universal resonance of the circle unites all life and all energy. And so when you're focused in your union with all life, your marriage to all life and all energy through the universal vibration of the circle, that is a key that links your consciousness with everything through a field of perfect equality of being. And so you are equal with the smallest forms of energy and consciousness and life. You are equal with the largest expressions of energy and life and consciousness that exist. There is no size, because in your spiritual progression to attain the One, you discover that you are co-equal with the One, and so is everything and everyone else. So that focus of equality with all beings is what aligns you with the incoming waves of Christ consciousness that are also claiming you and lifting you up into a vibration of consciousness where that oneness and that equality is completely apparent to your senses at all times. And here we're talking about the difference between having a focus of equality and oneness in your consciousness, understanding our oneness conceptually, and actually experiencing oneness as being apparent to your inner and outer senses, such that you could not project any form of imbalance or lack of respect or love towards anyone or anything and not instantaneously feel the karmic repercussions of that. So you couldn't, you could no longer be a jerk to anyone anymore, because you would feel like you're on the other end of your own behavior, your own negative attitude instantaneously, because you would be in a state of oneness with the person who's on the receiving end of your negative energy. So, and that's the interesting thing, is that, you know, we can begin to evolve into these greater states of connection, and yet we still may have aspects of our former egoic self that are like a residual resonance of personality that needs work. You know, no matter how much we shift, there are always going to be older resonance of an older resonance of consciousness that we are still evolving out of and that we have to keep in check. So it's a constant process of staying vigilant to your alignment with harmony and balance, and always being willing to take a look at yourself and to own your own creation and be completely accountable for what you are creating with your power and with God's power.
Love it, love it, love it. And I love, when you talked about the focus of equality, that just, you were speaking and you were using words, and there was the energy that was flowing through all of this that's so complete. And I was like, wow, you know, I get it. I mean, you just like made it so simple, and I'm so grateful to you and to Source for making it that simple for all of us, because that is so powerful, and that's something that is a very simple way to shift our consciousness. And what I love about what you're saying too is that it shifts once our consciousness is shifted, it shifts everything. I want to touch on a few emails that are coming in. Vicky is saying, sorry, and she wants you to know that your words just make me feel alive. Beautiful and powerful. Thank you.
And
Beth,
you.
Yeah, isn't that, Vicky, I couldn't have said it any better. Beth is asking something, and I think that you kind of already touched on it, but it's really important. She was asking about the shamanic wisdom that is present throughout all of this and what it has to offer us today. And she wants to know directly, is this a knowledge that is left dormant inside of us? How can we remember that which is hidden? And I think it's really key, because that was coming in as you were speaking to the law of equality. But I wanted to ask it also because it was part of what you were speaking about.
Yes. Well, in terms of, you know, how we can activate what's dormant inside of us when it comes to shamanic knowledge, then, I mean, there are several different things. I mean, I did speak to some of it, but I could elaborate a little bit more and say that what we're doing here in Sacred Circle with these elders that are present, these wisdom keepers that are with us, these beings and these energies came in for this group and for everyone listening to this because there's a specific attunement being offered in this call. And so just receive the attunement and receive the anointing from these energies and know that whatever is dormant inside of you, they will assist you to help you bring this out. They're going to shine a light on your unique gifts so that they come to light more and more. And part of it is just going to happen naturally as the field of oneness increases and as you fulfill your piece of the puzzle, as you continue to go along the spiritual path that your soul has plotted for you with your ascended master teachers and guides and angels, then naturally everything that is inside of you will come out and will be born anew. The ancient knowledge will be born anew. Sometimes people are asking questions about, well, how can I make this happen? You know, something that they see as their potential. And that usually comes from a place inside of us that that believes that we need to have control over that process in order to ensure that it occurs. And actually, when you can feel that something's really a part of your potential, the truth is that you have so many divine energies that are focused on helping you realize that potential with you that you really don't need to necessarily even know how, because that's kind of something that you can leave to the higher ups. Let them handle the how. You just keep taking what spiritual steps are placed before you, and don't ever be afraid to step out of your comfort zone to follow the calling of your heart. That's really one of the biggest keys. Now, there is one other thing I will say, in addition to really honoring those energies that are showing up for us right now, that are becoming more present and receiving their blessings, really just focusing on a love of the earth and our connection with the earth, that is going to bring forth so much of our ancient knowledge, because so much of it is a part of the earth and was stored in the earth or in the auric field of the earth or the waters of the earth. And so really going deeper into our connection with the earth, discovering it, discovering our marriage to the earth, becoming married to the earth. That's one of the teachings that the Arcturians brought through me. They talked about how their ascension process on their home worlds was one of becoming married to their world, their living world. They became married to it in their consciousness. And that was an essential part of their ascension process. They became married to their earth. And through that marriage to the earth, their world and their civilization were able to ascend together as one. And we're in that same process. Humanity is not going to ascend without the earth. And the earth needs humanity to enact the ascension process to the degree that is the highest potential. So we really are partners with the earth, and the earth is our greatest healing ally. Just as powerful an ally as the Ascended Masters and our own God Source, because the Earth is like a living physical embodiment of God, and there is just as much God in the Earth as there is anywhere else. So when we really focus on deepening that connection and allowing our higher guides to take us deeper and deeper into that connection, you know, and I want to emphasize there are levels of that connection to the earth that are going to be scary to the ego, because it will mean the ego becomes diminished, or we move past egoic consciousness and into such a state of connection that we are really transcending ego. And so some of these states of connection are so profound, even just with the earth itself, that the ego may be frightened to go there. And so that's why we have the help of higher guides that are guiding us through this process, beings that have done this before, and they are guiding us into these deeper and deeper states of connection. And we are just surrendering ego more and more and more as we allow the evolutionary process to take hold and we allow these deeper states of connection to take place.
I'm just sitting here like, thank you so much, because I think that we do not, in terms of receiving information from inside of ourselves, you're allowing us to see what a deep connection we have with the earth. I think so many times people are talking about getting away from this. You know what I mean? This gay world's ending. We're going off somewhere else. It's like we are here together. All of this is together. And the earth is just as holy as whatever one might think the holiest thing is or the holiest being. And it's a process. It's a co-creative process. And the earth has consciousness. And this consciousness is crucial in terms of our consciousness working with the earth, and that there's a much bigger plan than perhaps a limiting one which has come through. You know, we're having such an amazing attunement in this call, and I love when Sarian talks about the fact that the entire call is an attunement. Yes, we're going to do a group process, but the call itself, and as he's talking about these elders that are making themselves more and more known, I'm loving it. We're going to take a minute and we're going to take one more question, and then we're going to look at Sarian's package, and then we're going to come back, talk about some more questions, and then do the group attunement. But Sarian, before we go to the package, we have people who are asking about the Arcturians and the dolphins, and I think it's important because as you talked about the Arcturians, a couple of people are wondering the dolphin connection there. We have John who says, Sarian, is it true that the dolphins hold the Arcturian energy? Thank you. And then we have someone else who is just wondering, Lori, you know, are the dolphins messengers from the stars? And since you just brought up the Arcturians and the way they had to love the earth in order to have their ascension process happen, and people were asking about dolphins, just wanted to throw that out. Also, Laura's wondering, well, you know, what's their message and how come we forgot our own star essence?
Yeah, well, the dolphins are much more conscious than most human beings. They're very highly conscious spiritual beings. Some of my spiritual guides have actually been dolphins. So when I've been traveling out of body, sometimes I will be called out to the ocean somewhere, and I'll find myself with a pod of dolphins. And I remember one time this particular dolphin was talking with me telepathically, sharing with me all this star knowledge and literally playing records for me, like living records of ancient history, and showing me some of my past lives, showing me things that happened in ancient civilizations, showing me things that had been utterly forgotten in Earth's history. And it was all just being broadcast into my mind, and it was like a movie playing. And when I came out of it, I'm still aware of, like, you know, just being there with this dolphin. I was kind of hovering above the water in the out-of-body state, and this dolphin's just beaming me with knowledge. And they have a very clear awareness of the stars and the star civilizations that is apparent when you are connecting with the dolphin consciousness. And I think that's why so many people have had experiences with that and written about it and conveyed that awareness. They also are very connected with the whole hologram of history. So not only can they sort of look backward and forward in time, and they can retrieve memories and awareness that comes from ancient history, they can also look at the timelines. A lot of the information that I have received about the timelines comes from the dolphins and the whales. And it's just incredibly profound to connect with those energies telepathically. So we are experiencing a reconnection. That is one of the bridges that is reconnecting between the cetacean consciousness and the human consciousness. And there are many other levels of that connection that haven't even dawned on us yet. But what I will say is that when I was channeling, there's a particular class that I channeled with the Arcturians where they actually came in and they wanted to teach a class through me to a group of people. During some of the channeling sessions, there were dolphins. I don't know where they were in the world, but there were dolphins that became psychically aware of these channeling sessions that I was doing with the Arcturians. And it's like they tuned in. They can sort of just tune in to any kind of transmission that is coming in multidimensionally in the world. It's just like for them, it's like, you know, listening to what's out there as like a radio station and going, oh, here's an interesting radio station. Maybe I'll tune into that broadcast. And they can just tune right in, and it's like they're there with us. So it's really amazing what's happening. I love the dolphin energy. and I love connecting with them. You know, the question of like, why have we forgotten so much? And that's a really long story, but what I will say about it is that we did choose this journey specifically so that we could heal the galaxy from a future of pain and end certain forms of consciousness that could have created a lot more duality and pain if it had not been stopped and healed through our transformation. So humanity is a civilization that did take on a karmic balancing process that is interlinked with other worlds and with unhealed patterns of consciousness in many other civilizations. And so our story and our history and our journey is creating healing for a host of interconnected worlds. And that doesn't happen on every world to this degree. We really are kind of a melting pot of many different forms of consciousness that have come here to heal and to resolve things that were unresolved in other worlds. And as we come into our state of unity consciousness and oneness, we will be in a position to enact a wonderful holographic teaching of oneness and surrender and forgiveness that can really expand out and not only heal many worlds, but it will eventually lead towards the birth of other worlds that can then carry on this pattern of consciousness that we're creating here.
Wow. Thank you so much for speaking to that. Again, it's huge. It's profound. And I can really feel all of this and all of the attunement that's going on, that's happening in this sacred space that we're holding. We're going to take a minute. An incredible minute, and we're going to look at Sarian's beautiful offer that he's made available just for everyone today here on the call and for everyone listening on replay. He and Donna have been working diligently. He's really put together such an incredible package, and to allow the continuation, this attunement is huge. What's going on right now with all of us, through all of us, this ancient sacred energy, wisdom, which is rising through all of us, creating this moment, and to allow us to continue to experience more of the wisdom and the, you know, Sarian, one thing that's so beautiful about your work, Sarian, is like you have completely surrendered, like in every moment, you are totally on that one and allowing, you know, source to come to you and whether it's however the direct channel comes to you, just right there. And so the fact that everyone gets to enjoy, you know, a package that you put together, especially for everyone on the call. You can find this package at www.awakeningheartnetwork.com, Sarian 4, or go to his replay page, and there you will see special offer. You click that button, and you'll see this package that he's put together, and I will let him tell you more about it. It's a beautiful package with video lessons and audios and bonus calls. I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on, and so I'm going to let him tell you because he's really put his heart into making this something that's special and will allow for the change to continue on and on and on. And so, Sarian, could you tell everybody a little bit more about your package, please? It's fantastic.
Yes. I feel like I should actually start by sharing a little bit about the School of Manifestation itself, because this whole project, I mean, these different courses that have been created were all done in co-creation with the Ascended Masters, the Angels, and the Arcturians. So I didn't just decide that I'm going to, you know, start teaching telecourses and seminars and things like that on my own, and then I tried to, you know, come up with something that would attract people's interest. I have never approached things in that way. This came about because the Ascended Masters came to me. In the beginning, it was Saint Germain, Jesus, and Mother Mary, and they came in and inaugurated the School of Manifestation as a new teaching center on the inner planes. And there's actually literally a temple of manifestation that houses part of the frequency of the violet flame that exists there multidimensionally. It's a whole teaching center, and there are even other rooms that, and temples that are interconnected with this teaching center on the inner planes. And every time I've done a course, it's almost like a new room within this temple complex is revealed. And it's like we all kind of file into this new room, and there's a new energy there. There's inscriptions on the walls. There's new codes of consciousness that start downloading into me as a channel. There's different things happening inside these chambers for this energy that's downloading into us. And each course that I've done has been something that the masters came to me to teach. I really lived through the experience of the teachings first. In many ways, I am a pioneer of consciousness. And so we're dealing with these incoming waves of oneness that are coming in. And I've been sort of given an attunement from the masters to kind of move into these waves of oneness as they're coming to us, kind of ahead of most people, because I'm able to model the shift and find the path of grace through the changes because of my knowledge and wisdom and experiences from other lives that have given me that training. And I'm also very, very good as a speaker and as a channel at describing and articulating the nature of the new energy that's coming in and how to navigate it and what this looks like and how this is really affecting our human experience and what we can transform into. So this is very real. It's very grounded information. Even though I have a strength in as a seer and really seeing multidimensionally, I'm really describing how to navigate through experiences that are impacting all of us and energy that is affecting all of us. And coming to this particular course, which is called Engaging the Flow, there's a reason why I called that, because I called it this because it really kind of goes back to when I first read the Celestine Prophecy, and that awareness of our potential to move into higher and higher vibrations and to engage a flow of synchronicity and spiritual insight and occurrences that are happening that are designed to propel us forward. It's only a little bit about that. It actually is a little bit more to do with the way in which these waves of oneness coming in now are affecting us and how to engage the flow of the evolutionary process and how these waves of oneness are causing an egoic reaction, bringing up different forms of resistance inside of us and how to deal with that. So the Ascended Master Kutumi and the Ascended Master Saint Germain came to me and they combined their energies along with Serapis Bey, who came in a little bit later in the course. And these three energies formed a synergistic container that was giving everyone an attunement to the arrival of the ascension flame. And I literally felt this ascension flame energy and the purification energy of this ascension vehicle for our transformation coming in through this course. So I first lived through the course. And then once I had lived through it, the masters came in and said, okay, now we're going to teach the course through you, and you're going to get an even higher level of the information because you've been prepared through your life experience to be able to navigate this experience with others. And it was amazing. We did the first run through was with a small group of people, and then the masters were showing me it's not over. There's a larger group of people now, and now you're ready to help them navigate these waves of oneness coming in. And so people loved this so much, we did a second series around this same theme. And now there are actually, it's like two courses in one. There are two sets of seven recordings of these classes, and many of them involved me directly channeling the Ascended Masters for people. The thing is that the Ascended Masters, they really interact with the consciousness of people that are coming into these courses. And so I'm really never trying to promote my work just to get people to enroll in it because that's what I want. I'm really just surrendered to what wants to occur, and I'm just offering this. And so what I'm feeling right now is I feel the Master Kutumi, for one, and Saint Germain, but specifically I'm feeling a transmission of Katumi's love vibration. And I would like for all of you to attune to these energies, to allow yourself to feel the embrace of Katumi's love vibration, and to feel the way in which his love vibration is creating part of the pathway for you to align with your highest potential and to receive awareness of your potential in a way that clears away fear of surrendering into it. And also feel how, as Katumi's love vibration is coming in to meet with you as an inner companion and as a source of love vibration that is coming into the world, he is gently bringing to the surface anything inside of you that can now be transmuted in this new level of oneness vibration. And that's where the Master Saint Germain is able to come in and bring in the energies of the violet flame to also surround each part of you that is needing support with letting go and surrendering more deeply. So there are all kinds of impurities that are coming to the surface, places where we have feared to surrender our control. And the violet flame is coming in, and it is really embracing your heart and your mind and your sacral chakra, for that matter, and is creating a kind of a safe space where you can discover the energies of the violet flame and the energies of your own higher self with the support of the masters holding the field for you to align with this awareness of your own divinity. And so I want you to really feel this energy and receive a blessing from it, whether you choose to participate in the Engaging the Flow course or not. This energy, I want everyone to have a taste of this and to feel connected to this, because this synergy of Katumi's love vibration and the violet flame that Saint Germain is bringing in is a new form of blessing and activation that is having an effect on the human chakra system that I don't even know if I could put it entirely into words. So I don't want anyone listening to this call to think that, you know, you have to participate in this this course in order to get the benefit of what's occurring multidimensionally and what's being offered to us, because it's being offered to you right now. The violet flame is free. The ascension energy, the love vibration of the masters is free. And we are all holding the field for each other to align with the incoming waves of oneness and to surrender into them fearlessly with the compassion and the loving support of the masters who have done this before us. However, if you feel so guided, and you may feel like the Master Katumi and Saint Germain are tapping you on the shoulder and saying, actually, this course is for you. And there's more for you to receive, and this course was designed in such a way that it is perfectly aligned with and in sync with your divine blueprint for your transformational potential at this time. And I want you to be aware of that, because if you're meant to take this course, then you will really feel a direct invitation from the masters that's asking you to say yes. And it really is a beautiful course. It's the first course that I created with the masters that has both audio classes and written channeled information, as well as a video series and even some different exercises that go along with it. And it's just one of the most comprehensive things that I've created. There really is a vortex of energy that is connected with this particular course. And if you're guided to work with it, then you're just going to be journeying through that vortex to experience an undoing of certain specific patterns in your consciousness that this course was designed to facilitate. And you'll know if it's right for you. You'll just have a feeling inside, and it'll feel exciting to you. You'll feel like really excited, like, oh, wow, yeah, I really want to do this. This feels like it's part of my journey. And I'm really excited, and the masters are excited to share this with more people, because the information in this particular course is highly, highly relevant to the energies that we are moving into and the experiences that we're having. This course is going to describe experiences that probably a lot of you are dealing with, and you haven't heard anyone really describe it in such a way before, or give you empowering information about how to navigate the evolutionary process and the way that it's actually showing up. So that's what I would say about it. And I just am so grateful to the Ascended Masters to being willing to co-create with us in this way, so that each of these courses in the School of Manifestation is like a multidimensional teaching. There's literally a portal of energy on the inner plane for each of the courses that have come through. And even if you have not done any of the courses before, it's perfectly fine if you start with this one. This one is just as good an introduction to working with the Ascended Masters as the first course that I ever did with them. So you can jump right in, and there's going to be plenty of content to work with for quite some time. So I still have people that took this course when I first offered it back in March and April, and some of those people are still re-listening to those recordings and writing to me and saying how much this course changed their life.
I'm just sitting here looking at the offer page, and I'm struck by how much and how generous the Ascended Masters are, and how generous you are in creating a full, whole, composite energy field to step into, which is, you know, true, real, allowing for us, almost it's like listening to it allows for us to shed our baggage and our lies and what is not true and embrace the truth of who and what we are and not to carry around this stuff anymore. And you did say that. And as you were talking about it, like I could feel the violet flame suddenly come in around my throat and neck area, where I also felt the Native American elders. And so I feel like all of this is carrying such a huge energy, and it's profound. And I rarely am in a place where I'm at a loss for words, but I'm at a loss for words. I mean, I want to continue to talk about this package because there is so much, as Sarian was talking about. People from April and March are still, you know, going through this, and I can understand that. They're the classes, the coursework, just so much to do, to transform, to have, to use every day, and to allow this to shift. So knowing if what you felt tonight is right, and you're here for a reason. Everyone on this call, there's no mistake. Nobody happened on this call, even though it might seem that way. I'm feeling the purposefulness of all of us being here right now. And also just to know that if it feels like something that you are really called to do, you can go to Sarian's event page. And you can go ahead and click on that special offer, and you will have something that you will be able to use and continue to use and continue to use. And the wisdom and the energy will inform every aspect of your life. Or you can go to www.awakeningheartnetwork.com/Sarian4. And I'm just sitting here literally drooling over the page like, wow, look at all this information. And from the change that we've experienced on the call right now, you know, there's even more to come. And what? March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. 9 months later, people are still chewing on it who had, you know, portions of this when he offered it at another time much, much earlier in the year. So that is impressive. That
I was also going to say that I'm going to be doing two more live
yes.
classes where I do live activations, channeling, Q&A for people that are subscribing. So if you subscribe to the course, if you feel called to do so, then on the 25th of October and the 1st of November, those are two consecutive Sundays, then I'm inviting people who have subscribed to this course to come and participate in those live activation calls. And it's an added bonus because I want to keep working with people live as much as I have time to do that. And my time is very limited, but I felt like, you know what, there's a lot of new people coming into the School of Manifestation, and I wanted to try and do something that would continue to link us all together to do this energy work and to empower each other's shift in consciousness. And I know the guides, they always love working with us when we do these calls. So it's a lot of fun for me. It's a lot of fun for them, and people always tell me that they really love these calls. Even if you don't get to hear the live call, then you will still be eligible for the replay if you've subscribed to the course. The other thing I was going to say is that just given the time of year that it is, it's kind of perfect, really, for the completion of this year. There's enough material in there to really take you through quite a process of letting go of some things that are not serving you as you move into the completion of this year, so that when you start the new year, 2016, you are going to be more empowered, more connected, more aware of the support system of the masters just right behind your back as you're racing towards the realization of your potential and enacting more of your true essence and power in the world. So I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. So everybody, wonderful. The bonuses, the two live calls, the two live attunement calls, on top of everything that's offered. I'm going to say it one more time, www.awakeningheartnetwork.com/Saryon4, S-A-R-Y-O-N, 4, number 4. Or you can go to his event page and go ahead and click on the special offer, and you'll see it all there. It's so beautiful to look at, and you get a sense of the depth of the commitment and the utter surrender to the process that's coming in to help, through Saryon, us create this entirely new reality. That's a consciousness shift. It's why we're here on this call tonight. So thank you so much. Saryon is going to take us on a group process, but Saryon, I'm going to put one more question out because we got about 4 people asking the same question here, and I thought that it was significant enough as I saw the questions coming
sure.
in. And we're going to get right into the process. The question has to do with knowing that if we are in equality with all of life, how do we treat our animals better? From Jackie, I'll take it. Everyone is asking this question in a similar way, but I think she's really talking about the pain of the animals. Sorry, and I would love to know about the so-called lower animals on Earth. I feel it's very important regarding food animals and the role they play now. I understand that they choose to give their lives to us, but the pain and suffering that we put them through seems so awful. How is that going to change?
Well, the awakening of oneness is going to change a lot of things. I think some of the changes will be very sweeping and very dramatic at a certain point, but that's still a ways off. What we're seeing now is a change that is, it's steady change, it's steady progress, but it's not visible enough to most of us that we can't tell that things are changing. So I know a lot of people really feel the pain of what the animals are going through and feel very sensitive to that. And there was actually a really interesting awareness and insight that came up for me just the other day. I always think about how when we judge another person, we're judging ourselves or we're judging a reflection of ourselves. And very often, it's I'm going to get into something that's a little more multidimensional here, because in terms of like our past incarnations and other experiences, usually what happens is when we've done something that's a violation of nature, and we all have, I mean, we've all done it, if not in this life and in lots of other lives, there have been things that we did where we stepped out of balance in some way, where we created karma, where we were sabotaging of ourselves or others. What happens is we end up judging ourselves very harshly. Usually that's the case. The masters in the ancient mystery schools trained us to engage the experience of the life review after death in such a way that we transcended judgment, because often people would create as much karma through self-judgment as they did through the original experiences of imbalances that we created through, you know, our crimes or things that we did that caused pain. And so what happens is when we create a really strong judgment of ourselves and we condemn ourselves for things that we did, we bring that back into our next embodiment. And we sometimes live with that, and it creates part of our spiritual experience of limitation until we are able to undo those things. Well, sometimes the undoing of those things comes about in this interesting way where we end up needing to forgive ourselves from ways that we judged ourselves in the past and condemned ourselves in the past. And we will draw to ourselves somebody who does something in our field that is a mirror for something that we did in some other life. So whatever we judged ourselves for, we'll end up judging some other person that's a mirror for us, and it creates this opportunity to forgive ourselves by forgiving the other person who is the mirror for us. And it's really fascinating how this works, because this is part of how we are being released from the conditions of the past that we created through self-judgment, is by attracting people that trigger us and then forgiving ourselves by forgiving our reflection in that person that triggered our judgment to come to the surface. Well, I had to really meditate a lot on this process in thinking about some of the things, like, for example, this dentist that went over and killed this lion in Africa, you know, this lion that loved humans, and how that struck a chord with so many people. And there's a lot of people that felt tremendous judgment at this man for what he did. And what I'm really shifting into more and more is compassion for everyone, and allowing compassion to reveal the gift of everyone's experience, no matter what it is, and to reveal how each person is worthy of compassion, even if our judgment initially may blind us to that. And so I was trying to apply some of that awareness, and I feel that when we witness something like that and it evokes a very harsh judgment or condemnation of a person for doing something like that, and the same can be applied to, for example, you know, you hear these stories about, you know, people using, you know, soldiers and in Syria using rape as a weapon. And it evokes tremendous judgment for what those people are doing. And what we have to do is, no matter what form of judgment and rage is coming up inside of us, we have to look at that as an opportunity to forgive any part of ourself from the past that was like that. And in the course of our soul's evolution through many lifetimes and even from many other worlds and other forms of existence, we have all sinned. We have all done things that were a violation, you know, however you want to describe that. We have all erred. And any way in which judgment comes to the surface, it actually is this profound opportunity to forgive ourselves, to forgive ourselves as that person. So it's not about forgiving that person. It's about forgiving ourselves as that person, forgiving ourselves as humanity, forgiving ourselves as any aspect of ourselves from the past that also had done that. So I always have to think of that quote from Jesus where he says, you know, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. Because that's the statement that always brings me back into that awareness of how judgment can blind us to who we are. And and to not allow us to really see how worthy we all are of compassion and how equal we all are in terms of having participated in duality as part of our soul's growth and evolution. So, you know, coming back to the subject of the animals, you know, the pain that the animals are going through, that pain is serving a purpose in a lot of different ways. But what we can do in our own consciousness is to utilize whatever is coming up that is triggering us and focus on the vast field and awareness of compassion that wants to arrive inside each one of us, and to just have compassion for all of it. Have compassion for the animals. Have compassion for the human beings that are mistreating them. Have as much compassion for the rapist as we do for the victim of rape. We have to evolve our thinking beyond the constructs that we see through the lens of judgment, because that judgment contains part of our duality. And when we actually expand into the most compassionate and angelic overlighting view, there's a way that we can see all of what is occurring down here on the physical plane as part of a vast healing transformation process, where every single part of the human experience is part of this engine of transformation. And it's all forgivable, and it is all lovable, and I mean, every human being is lovable, and every human being is also capable of redemption, no matter what they have done. And we have to keep holding that in our consciousness, because as the field of oneness grows stronger, it is going to really cause a strong reaction in people that have been perpetrating violence towards others. It will make many of them feel more and more aware of oneness in a way that they want to run away from, because they will begin to feel how much wrong they have done and how much pain they have caused, and they will believe that they are unforgivable. And so when we hold that everyone is forgivable, everyone is redeemable, everyone can redeem themselves, when we hold that, we qualify the field of oneness with an invitation to transformation. If we were taking this oneness energy and what we were adding into it and broadcasting through it is judgment and condemnation, then it would just make it harder for people that are resisting it more strongly to digest, you know, what's happening. And it would make it more difficult for the true revelation of unconditional love to reach everyone. So with that, I would like to, and there's so much more I could say about the animals as well, but I don't want to, you know, keep going on about that when we have this other process, because I kind of brought up Syria for a reason, because I feel that the focus of this healing circle can do some meaningful work to broadcast this invitation to healing and transformation to people that are struggling on all sides of the conflict that are there experiencing this. Somebody actually emailed me before the call and said, you know, I can't be on this call, but is there anything that you can tell us about the refugee crisis and what's going on over there? And I tuned in and I really asked the guides. I said, you know, well, is there something that I meant to say here? And what I was guided was that there's something that you can do. And so I would like to invite everyone to become refocused on our connection with each other in this sacred circle, in this beautiful big teepee that we are sitting in with our indigenous elders. And I would like you all to feel how much you are a part of this healing process, that each one of you is absolutely important. I cannot possibly overstate your importance and how powerfully you can create with your consciousness by aligning with the historical momentum of healing and aligning with the incoming waves of oneness that are seeking to lift us and empower us and to convey to us how profoundly loved we all are. So I'd like for all of you to just take a few deep breaths with me as we begin to focus on the presence of that beautiful flame that is at the center of our circle, this beautiful violet flame, and to feel your connection to it, that flame is actually reaching out and it is literally anointing you, like placing little candle flames of violet flame energy into your chakras. And the awareness is present that the greatest activation you can receive in this moment is not just from what is being given to you, but what you can be a conduit for in relation to others. And so let us all feel the energies of peace, love, and forgiveness being cultivated inside of us. Allow the love vibration of Kutumi and Saint Germain and all of our angelic guides that are present with us and all of the indigenous elders. Allow yourself to feel the vortex that is opening, that is swirling around this circle, and feel how that vortex is growing. There's even an Arcturian presence that is showing up and is empowering this vortex of energy that is opening like a spiral inside our hearts and minds. And let us now begin to feel that with our breath and with our intention that we can send this energy into the Middle East, that we can send it to Syria and Iraq and the surrounding areas that have been affected by violence the most. And let us bless each and every person that is living through their own experience of these energies. Let us bless every heart and every mind, and let us make no distinction between victim or perpetrator. And instead, allow yourself to feel your connection to this beautiful healing energy that is coming into the violet flame, into the center of our circle. There is a divine masculine and a divine feminine energy that is appearing within the flame. And these two twin flame energies represent the healed and restored peace consciousness of the divine feminine and divine masculine. And as we breathe and we intend to share this energy, let us see the blueprint of healing and forgiveness between the masculine and the feminine energy imprinting deeply into the earth in that region of the world. Imagine seeing these two emissaries of Christ consciousness, the divine feminine and the divine masculine, surrounded by the violet flame, as if they are planting their feet in the sands and imbuing a healing vibration into all of the lands. Allow yourself to feel that, in truth, this is what has been occurring the whole time in the Middle East. That actually the energies of divine union have been coming into the Middle East. And even though you've heard all of these stories of rape and violence and you feel the disparity, that exists there, where the feminine consciousness is not honored. The masculine consciousness seems so separate and devoid of love that actually the blueprint for divine union and the path of forgiveness between masculine and feminine has been anchoring like a vortex in the Middle East, and it is growing stronger and stronger, and it is bringing to the surface all the darkest forms of separation in human consciousness. And in terms of the duality of masculine and feminine, some of these forms of duality are very old, they are very ancient. And yet as we continue to focus on seeing the violet flame expanding through those territories, expanding through Syria, expanding through Iraq, expanding through Turkey, expanding into Israel. Imagine that whole part of the globe lighting up with the energies of the violet flame. Let us invite all the spiritual energies there to ignite with the invitation that we are sending forth. We now invite everyone who has experienced separation in their consciousness to step into this flame, to receive healing, to receive forgiveness. No one will be turned away. I want you to imagine, actually, that we are all going there together, that we are walking the streets of these cities, and that we are bringing people flowers, and that with these flowers come a sweetness and a vibration of peace. Imagine that we are going door to door, that we are walking through the marketplaces, that we are entering into the mosques, that we are bringing these flowers of peace that vibrate with the purest, sweetest essence of unconditional love and compassion and peace consciousness. Imagine giving them to the children. Imagine giving them to the soldiers. Feel how they are all being invited. And there are many who are receiving this, and they are letting go of their attachment to the distorted forms of power that have had a grip, especially on the masculine consciousness there. And let us hold compassion for the soldiers especially, because they have been embodying many forms of dark astral energy that have possessed them. They know not what they do. Let us forgive them, and let us invite all levels of the energy that is present on the astral plane to enter into the violet flame or leave. Let's just take a few deep breaths and know that you have assisted, that the Masters called you to participate in this call because you had something to give. And now we invite you to also forgive the masculine energy and the feminine energy. Any way in which the distorted masculine or the distorted feminine have impacted you, created you to close your heart. Acknowledge that a great healing is taking place, and if there is any particular person that you have in your mind. Somebody that may have hurt you or disappointed you. Somebody that you hold in contempt or judgment, or that you have found a difficult time to forgive. Even if you've wanted to forgive, maybe you've found it difficult. There's somebody in your mind. Take that thought form, that memory, that person, place them in. Surrender that memory, because it is only a memory. As long as you hold a person in the past, you're holding attachment to an unresolved memory, you are holding yourself in the past. And you're being given a to really let go, to feel supported in letting go, and feel how the soul of that person is thanking you, saying thank you for supporting me to become greater love in each moment. Thank you for not holding me into the construct of the past, for I am also growing and evolving and seeking to expand into greater love. And feel how all that you give, all that you let go of, it's being reciprocated into your heart as an expansion and an opening, where you are able to allow more love vibration in. And because so many people have asked, have prayed, and have aligned with the potential for healing, let us also take some of this beautiful ascension energy and violet flame energy that is coming in, and let us send this out to the animals and to bless them, to thank them for their service, to honor the roles that they have played, and to invite whatever form of guidance we need to receive to continue on our journey to balance our karma in relationship to the animal kingdom. Let us surrender into the violet flame any judgment we have of people who abuse animals. Or maybe you're a vegetarian, maybe you judge people just who eat animals. Let's transcend that judgment, and let's just go deeper and deeper into honoring where everyone is at, letting go of attachment of where everyone is at, allowing ourselves to just receive and drink from the energies of universal peace. So I'd like to complete this by inviting each of you to take 3 deep inhalations of breathing in the incoming vibration of peace. And as you breathe in, just give thanks for all that has occurred here. Give thanks to your own higher self. Give thanks to your own courage just for being here. Give thanks for all the people in this group that came together to co-create. To sip the air, sip the peace energy into your heart and mind, and feel how very clear vibration of Christ energy is now resonating in your consciousness like a halo that is activated into your crown chakra. That halo connects you with the incoming energies of peace and oneness, and will keep you attuned to whatever the next step is, to go deeper, to become more aligned, to become more whole and complete. Thank you, all of you. I just want you all to know that the more you practice sending light, the more you will become infused with light. The more you practice sending love, the more you will become infused in love. And so can you bless people, honoring them, practicing the art of praising and consciously appreciating life by being present with it, honoring it, giving thanks. And as you continue to do this, you will continually find that will create more and more openings. So thank you, all of you, for participating. And I'm looking at the clock, and we're at 7 o'clock my time, Mountain Time Zone, right on the dot. And I love the number 7.
Perfect. Oh, my God. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sarian Michael White. Sarian, you have gifted us all. We've stepped into this holy, sacred space, and it's present for us to experience this in every moment. Thank you for showering us with your wonderful presence. And everyone on the call, thank you so much for being a part of this amazing call and this attunement and the gift that it's gifted to the entire planet, to the entire globe, to all the cosmos and creation. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you, and we wish you all well.
Thank you. Many blessings.
Many blessings.